Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a getaway Friday night, March 22nd, 2024, 16 and a half minutes past the hour. Joined in studio by Matt Morgan and Camden Travis, sitting in for whatever her name is, that she'll be back eventually. It slipped my mind there for a second. We thank Thunderbolt Patterson, the soon-to-be Hall of Famer, in 2 weeks for joining us in our number one, 2024 Hall of Fame inductee, Thunderbolt Patterson, the one and only.
He seemed to be having a good time up at the lake.
I think he's having a good time on the... this is going to be the best time of his life. Sitting there at 83, 82 and a half years old. Who knows he's going in the Hall of Fame in 14 days. Yeah, it's got to be a moment.
He's probably on, like, the top of the world right now.
You'd have to be. You'd never think that's going to happen. And then they call you, and here it comes. Wonderful. Phone lines are open. 740-383. Oh, here comes a phone call. 740-383-9944. And another well-known person, figure in the world, joins us here to explain some work. You probably remember him best from the episode from Marion of My 600-Pound Life that aired on TLC back Thanksgiving Eve, I believe, of 2021. Mike McGinnis. Mike, how you doing?
Pretty good. How you doing?
Doing well. Now, something perked your ears up tonight about the program. What went your way?
Well, talking about jobs and working for money or working for the love of it, and I would have to agree that you got to work for the money.
You have to agree that you have to work for the money?
Yeah.
Really? But do you think that brings happiness?
It allows you to do more things to make you happy.
Yeah, but if your job made you happy, you wouldn't have to rely on the money to make you happy.
Well, for me, the job is the means to do things that make me happy. I would say you work to make the money, you use the money to go vacations, do things with the kids and family. So I would say you work for money.
See, I just think that's a bad philosophy, though, because you spend half your life at work, which means you are making a deal to where I'm basically going to be unhappy for half my life, guaranteed, so that maybe the other half of my life I can be happy, because money is no definite guarantee that you're going to be happy. Things, tragedies can still happen in that outside of work life that money is not going to fix. You might not be happy with something. I mean, I don't know. I think that's a bad... But if you're happy at work, you're always happy to go back to it. You know what I've noticed is when any tragedy has happened in my life, I still go to work. Unless it's a medical thing. And that helps.
Why do you go to work, though?
Because I enjoy it. I like it. It's interesting to me. I don't dread it.
Well, I don't dread work. I don't like it. But I know I have to do it in order to do things I want to do outside of work.
See, there are mornings where I can't wait to get to work. I know something interesting is going to... Like in 2 weeks, because of work, I'll be in Philadelphia inducting somebody into the Hall of Fame in front of a sold-out 21,000-seat arena. Now, that has nothing to do with money. That has nothing to do with vacations. That has to do with a job that I like doing. So if I'd done a job that I hated, I don't think that would happen. And I also don't think you work as hard at a job you hate.
That is true. You work the hours you're scheduled, and then you go home. That's what I do.
Right, but if somebody gave you a job that you actually liked, wouldn't you take it?
Yep.
Right. So that's kind of the point.
I would only work my hours, and I'd go home and do the fun stuff then.
Well, see, I guess work for me is fun. There are certain things about work that I find enjoyable that are just fun. I don't know. It's just the way it is. I guess I like people is probably a big part of it. People are interesting to me.
And that's part of my everyday life. So I talk to people doing IT support. I answer phone calls all day long, helping people out. So
now, by the way, Mike, how you doing? People are always interested to get the update. Now, where are you in your... Because last time we spoke, I think you were about to get another surgery. Did that ever happen?
Well, I did have my gallbladder out in December.
Right.
And as of this week, as of Monday, I decided that I did a little more research, and I am not going to get the second surgery for the gastric sleeve conversion to the bypass. I am just going to work with the dietitian and continue changing some of the things I eat and lose it the normal way, because I know I can do it.
Now, this is interesting. So you just decided this on Monday, 5 days ago. What made you decide that?
One of it was I was spending all of my PTO time going to doctor's appointments with no definite time frame on when my surgery was going to be. That was taking away time that I could spend doing stuff with the kids, scheduling kids' things, going to the school and volunteering, and I was using it all just to go to all these appointments every other week. Plus, I had my insurance changed, and financially it was going to cost me a little more money than what I wanted to pay, and I can get the help I need without having to do the surgery and pay less. And I know I can do it.
Now, do we know when your update program, has it aired yet on My 600-Pound Life?
It has not aired yet. I have no clue when it is. I've tried to find out. They have not started the new season yet. So I know nobody's show has aired. I know mine was the first one that was filmed, but usually they start those pretty quick. They haven't had a new season since December of 2022. So it's been a while.
Now, Mike, you said one of the reasons you wanted to have the surgery was initially you had was it the sleeve? Was that right?
Yes, I had the sleeve the first time.
Okay, and when you started, you were at what weight?
I was 745.
745, and you're down to what now?
I am 545.
545, so you lost 200 pounds, but you've plateaued. You've been at 545 for how long now?
I've been here for just under 2 years.
2 years.
Basically, September of 2022 is when I plateaued at losing 200 pounds.
Now, being 545 pounds, stuck at that plateau, why were you opting for the surgery instead of just doing it the dietitian way as you've just described?
Because I went and saw one of a Marion native. He's a surgeon down at Ohio Health in Riverside. And does all the gastric, he's the gastric surgeon. I went and saw him and said, hey, I plateaued. What do I need to do? And he said, we should go ahead and just get you in for the surgery and do the second part and convert it. So it was like right away decided, I just want you to go ahead and convert to the other surgery. I don't know why you didn't do it the first time.
Now, it's interesting, Mike. I got to ask you this because there's a big story out this week. I don't know if you saw it, but Oprah Winfrey, who's turned 70 or is turning 70, I don't know which is, but 70 this year, says for most of her career she was heavier and that she was always weight-shamed for being heavier now that she's lost some weight. I think she used one of the pills. I'm not sure which one it was, but she's used the pill. She's got her weight down, but she said that that's the last sacred cow, that you can still make fun of weight. You can't make fun of religion anymore. You can't make fun of sexual orientation. You can't make fun of race, and you shouldn't, but you can still make fun of people's weight, so says Oprah. Is that true? I mean, were you made fun of, and are you still made fun of because of excess weight?
I am, and I was growing up always made fun of. It was basically a daily thing, even to this day. It's not like I'm getting made fun of, but there are comments all over social media, people saying stuff. And even like walking by little kids, I know little kids don't know any better, but they get why are you so big? And stuff like that. So it's, it's not part of, well, what it is society is so fixed on everybody has to look a certain way physically, and the specifications of a normal quote-unquote person and the sizes they have to be and the, and what classifies someone as obese, even if they are fully healthy person and completely muscular, but just because they weigh a certain weight and they're a certain height can makes them obese and puts them in a certain category. I think all if you put those specifications on what somebody's skin tone looked like or what how somebody's behavior was, it wouldn't be right. And I think the way that they handle weight and in people's lives is totally unjust.
So do you think it's the last sacred cow that you really can't make fun of people for race or religion or a handicap or anything like that? But if you call somebody fat, you still can get away with it.
Absolutely, I agree with that.
Now, it's interesting. We've got Matt and Camden here. Their mics are both open. They've had thoughts on this. Camden said yes, Matt said no. Or did you say you could still bully people because of weight?
Well, you can still bully
you
people.
You can, but is it the last one you still can, is the question. You can't do the others, really, without getting in trouble.
I think it's the only one that is not looked at as being immoral or wrong.
And could get you fired. Most of the other ones, if you go after somebody's race or religion or their handicap, you will get fired 9 times out of 10. If you call somebody fat, they might reprimand you, but I don't know if they're going to fire you.
Yeah, you'll just get written up, that's it. It happened at work already a few times.
So you've had people just say, what do they say to you?
I work at a bank. I know you said working at the bank was so boring.
When I worked at the bank, it was boring, but, you know, they could have changed.
I work in the back office. I work in the executive wing. I'm the technician for the CEO and his direct reports. So the CEO and some other executives, I walk around and I'm Big Mike to them. Kind of like the blind side. Everybody called him Big Mike. Well, yeah, I'm used to it. I don't say anything, but that's not my name.
You don't want to be Big Mike.
Yeah, I'm just Mike.
Yeah, but then you wouldn't. You're right. Go ahead.
So if I went ahead and if you were someone of color and I walked over and said, "Hey, hi, Black Scott," or "Hi, Asian Scott."
Yeah, you couldn't do that.
I'd get in trouble.
Yeah, that's right. Couldn't do that. You're exactly right. Matt, you have, go ahead. Get on this.
Like you said, you get called Big Mike. I mean, I am not a big man, but my boss actually called me Big Man all the time. Like, that's like.
But are they talking about your girth, or are they talking about, you know, like a put up?
I think they're probably talking about my height, because if you know our boss, he's
tiny.
He's a rather short man.
Would he like to be called Shorty or something? No, he probably wouldn't. So there you go. Is that him calling?
I think it was an alarm.
No, but, I mean, you have to hear what Mike says there, right? I mean, he's called Big Mike at his job. He doesn't want to be Big Mike, but you couldn't call him Asian Mike.
One of them is just seen as, oh, he's a big guy, but that's just how I look. So if you called somebody how they look, one of them would be racist. One of them is just his size.
That's the thing. I mean, I think that it's wrong to obviously make fun of anybody for anything, but I don't think that it's any less or more wrong to make fun of somebody for their weight. I don't think that it's
you could not
any more
call somebody
unprotected
Asian
or overprotected.
You could not call somebody Asian. You could not call Jewish Fred. You could not do that. They would stop it. But you call somebody sometimes management, as you said, will call you Big Guy or Big Mike or whatever.
The CEO of the company.
Now, is the CEO going to call you, Asian Mike? No, he would be gone. So, there you go. What do you think, Matt?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't think that it's all that big of a thing, honestly. I mean, maybe I'm just overthinking it here, but I mean, or I guess not overthinking, underthinking it. But I just don't see it as. I mean, I don't think like it's been. I mean, all throughout my life, it has been equally as made clear to me that you do not make fun of anybody for anything at all. Period.
That's good manners. Absolutely.
So, like, I mean, I don't know, like, it's not like they're just like, like, this one you can kind of, like, you know, you can slide on this one, but, you know, these ones, avoid. It just, don't do it.
No, but you, that's...
I mean, people do things like that all the time. Like, earlier I brought up, there's a comedian whose whole thing is just racist jokes.
Right, but I think you're missing Mike's point here, which is, none of them are in good taste. Nobody's saying any of it's in good taste. But you can get away with doing some of them where you can't get away with doing others. Like, you could not, like, and I've said this, and it should be, I agree with this, but the N-word became the first word that was not a profanity that you cannot say on a broadcast network. You can no longer say that. They will bleep that word. You call somebody that at work and see how quick you get removed from your job. But if it's a fat person, you can call them fat. You might get reprimanded, like Mike says, but that's about it.
You'll get talked to, and maybe if you do it enough times and you're told not to, then you'll be terminated. But after a fight, the other one, you don't have to say, someone doesn't have to complain. If they hear about it, you're done.
Well, and I want to talk to you about this, Mike. I don't want to take up too much of your time here, but it's interesting because we've talked about this before. This has affected your love life, weight, and things of that nature. How's that going? How's the love life? I know, it goes from weight to love life.
Is that a thing anymore?
Huh?
Is that a thing anymore? Is love life?
I don't know. What do we call it now? Do we call it something different?
We call it as... I don't even know anymore because it doesn't exist.
Love lives don't exist.
Well...
Relationship.
I am on the market, but I'm probably in the middle of the desert, and there's nobody within 500,000 feet of my existence.
Now, why is this, Mike? Because people are hooking up.
I don't fit the mold of the look of social media.
So what does that mean exactly?
Meaning people are seeing what they want, and it's not the size. They want the certain look now, and that's what social media pushes. It's an agenda that has been put out there, and it's basically nobody is settling down now. It's all hookup culture because everybody has the next option available. The majority of the people aren't going to get in a relationship because they're always looking for that one thing that's wrong with somebody and always have that next option available. There's maybe 10 to 20 guys in their DMs hitting them up on social media.
Well, let me ask you this, Mike, because obviously somebody on social media would not know anything about your personality, would really not know anything about you except what you look like. So do you believe...
And that is exactly...
So has the weight been a hindrance, I guess, is the question?
100%.
Right, now, how do you know this?
Because I know people, females, have told me, you are one of the most awesome guys I've ever met. You are great personality, you're funny and everything. But you're a better friend. And
was that
like,
code?
Or I don't feel like dating right now. And then you see their profile on Tinder.
So to you, even though they're not saying it, that's code for weight.
Yes.
Oh, that's very interesting. So, I mean, how does that make you feel, though? I mean, that's pretty rough.
I've just had to teach myself that that's how it's going to be. I don't like it. I'm just going to keep trying until I find somebody, and that's about it. I can't do anything about it. It's if they don't want me because of my weight, that's their problem.
I mean, what really big deal, you know? I mean, who cares how much somebody weighs in the end? These people are mostly are miserable. These people, I mean, honestly, if you're on Tinder and you're that desperate for somebody, I mean, you're probably a big loser anyway. So, on down the road with you, right?
Absolutely.
That's right. Well, Mike, I'm so glad that everything's going well for you. I'm glad you ought to come in here for some Friday night and join the whole knockdown dragout we have on Friday.
How about next Friday?
You're Friday 8 to 10? You're available?
This is spring break for the kids. I work all week, but I am... I don't have baseball. It is baseball season. I'm coaching the 7th grade here in Marysville. But we don't have practice this next week.
Oh, so next week you're available. Let's put it down. Friday, 8 to 10, Mike McGinnis will be with us live in the studio. That sounds good to me.
I'll do it.
I'll send you the address of the new place, Mike.
Sounds good.
Hey, thanks. See you next week.
Yep. Bye.
All right. Special guest on the Nick program next week. Star of My 600-Pound Life right here in the studio, Mike McGinnis. We'll get after it. Mike's a good guy. I like Mike. I've known him now since he came on right after the first episode of My 600-Pound Life back in 21, so about 3 years now. I like him. We get along.
Seems like a nice guy.
You have to tell him your whole theories when he comes in.
I will.
That's good. That'll be good. That'll be good. I'll run the camera for that one.
All right.
What do you think? He's right, though? I mean, I think he is right. What do you think, Camden?
Right about...
discrimination because of age, Big Mike, and I'm going on Tinder and all this nonsense. Get a life. I mean, these people are pathetic.
I met my boyfriend on a dating app.
I knew it.
There was no doubt in my mind. But it's not pathetic. Well, to some degree, I don't think you should be on dating apps. But I think that somebody who says don't want to be in a relationship and then you see them on a dating app, that's low class.
I mean, I'd agree there. I think there was a better way you could have gone about it, but I mean, I can't discount his experience, but I also don't know. Like, I know a lot of bigger people who are married or in relationships. So I mean, I don't think you can.
But were they when the relationship started?
Yes. As a matter of fact, my cousin, he's a rather larger fellow, and he's getting engaged.
Is she a larger lady?
She is.
There you go.
My boyfriend is
larger.
Yeah.
How large is he? Tell his weight on here. That'll be good.
I don't know his weight.
You don't know his weight. What would you guess?
250 is always a solid guess.
Like, but if you guessed...
he's 5'4", so...
Oh.
So, his, like, you got to factor in his height because some, like...
I mean, I don't know. 5'4", can be, like, 150 and be, like...
Well, I don't know.
5'4 is not...
He's a heavier fellow, though.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, but you don't care.
I don't think he's a heavier fellow.
For
if
you.
He's 5'4".
Good for you. I give you credit. Very credit. I give you a lot of credit for that. Overlooking that, because you're not heavy. I don't think. What do you look for in a guy if not for the weight?
How he treats me.
There you go. That's good.
If
good for you.
Kind, empathetic.
Good for you. So fat would not turn bother you.
Mm-mm.
There you go. Good for you. That's better than most people. 740-383-9944. How do you feel about age? Because we got on that topic a few weeks ago.
Would you date somebody who's your dad's age?
Here you go again. Wait a second.
I would not. That would be too weird.
See, you don't phrase it like that.
You see,
No. Listen, if you like somebody who's 20 years older than you, what difference does it make if they treat you well and they're a nice person and you like them and they like you, what does the age matter?
I could understand, like, if it was, like, 18, 19. But, like, once you get past, like, a certain age, I feel like it doesn't really matter old you date.
That's right. I agree with that. There you go. Mark it down, and we got a phone call. This is the celebrity night. We got soon-to-be Thunderbolt Hall of Famer, Thunderbolt Patterson, in 2 weeks. We had Mike McGinnis from My 600-Pound Life, who will be live in the studio next week. And now we'll go to the phones again. Go ahead, caller.
All right. If Scott Spears had an online dating profile, you know how they have like taglines or intro lines to catch to catch the interest.
Yes.
What would it be? And I want your two co-hosts to surmise what your intro would be, and then I want you to tell me what it would be.
So the question is, if I had a dating app profile, which I do not and never have and never will,
mm-hmm.
you can look it up all you want.
We'll let you join Facebook dating.
I can't even understand why people would do that. So the intro line, what would my intro line be is what you're asking my two co-hosts here. Matt, what would my intro line be? And I know what my intro line would be, but...
I don't know. I don't even know what my own intro line would be. I'm sitting here thinking about it.
Your own intro line.
I feel like it would be Scott Spears, your age.
Scott Spears.
My age? Why does my age have to go
you're,
there?
You're just going to get Scott Spears heading
to the dugout. I feel like
that's
a common thing. People would be like,
28 is a problem?
28, and then their job.
Okay, now, see, now they're coming up. Go ahead.
I got just Scott Spears heading to the dugout.
There you go.
And then, when the train gets to the last stop, you get off.
There you go. What do you think of those?
I can never hear Matt.
Man, and nobody can ever hear me.
He's got such a little voice. Go ahead, Matt. Beam on through.
Alrighty. So, I said one is Scott Spears heading for the dugout, and then the other one is when the train gets to the last stop, you get off.
There you go.
And Camden said me and my age.
Well, I said your name, your age, and your profession, because that's what most people do for their thing.
By the way, Mike's still listening out there. Mike threw one in. The voice of Marion.
The voice of Barry.
That's a good one.
I think it would have to be something like, let me be the radio host of your heart, or something like that.
That's a good one.
Let me be the radio host of your heart.
Let me be the MC of your heart.
Let me be the host of your heart.
Let me be the host of your heart.
Yeah.
No, I'll tell you what it would be. You know what it would be? Don't click this. Don't click.
Don't click.
Don't click. Don't click.
This
not
is,
interested.
This is a social experiment.
This is just a social experiment. Don't click this. You could end up at the bottom of the Olin Tangy before you know it. It wouldn't take much. No, what do you make of all? Have you heard what our friend Mike had to say about weight shaming? And I think it's a very fascinating conversation tonight.
Yeah, I mean, everybody in this country is overweight. I mean, if you look at the obesity rate, like, nobody can cast stones.
No, but you know what? Why do we care? I mean, honest to God, what does that really mean, your weight? What does your age, what does your weight, what do these superficial things mean in the end?
Well, I think most people would say that they're responsible for, their weight. And sometimes that's the case, but not all the times, is that the case.
Thyroids?
We don't really have nutritious, like, healthy food options. I mean, if you try to go that route most of the time... you can't afford it. And then you're stuck eating what I call Frankenstein food, which is just highly processed, like non-nutritional food.
Now, do you have to love your job?
Well, we've talked on that topic many times. I mean, ideally, yes. I think that life is too short, and you need to prioritize and try to do something that you get enjoyment out of, and also fulfillment.
You know, though, I heard somebody, I mean, God, I was thinking about this today, because here we got, and I'm not a big follower of the Royals at all, but when I saw that news story, because there's been all this Princess Kate, what's going on, pictures, and she's not showing up to things, and blah, blah, blah. And my gosh, we learned at 42 years old today she has cancer. I mean, this is horrible, and undergoing chemotherapy. I mean, I just think about the age and her life. But I think she has achieved what she wanted. So I hope all is well, and she lives a long and happy life. But she had the kids. She married the guy she wanted. She's the future Queen of England, if, hopefully she lives long enough. So I doubt she's as upset as somebody who would be who worked in a mundane job all their life and didn't hit their goals and worked for just the money.
Yeah, no, that's probably true. But Isn't it weird how, like, people are fascinated by the royalty?
I don't understand it. You know, when the Queen was alive, if you would go to the newsstand at the grocery store, the Queen was on 80% of the magazines every week. So they had to be selling.
Yeah, I don't get that, especially amongst Americans. It just baffles the mind. And then you have, you know, as tragic as that is, then you have, you know, how many, you know, tens of thousands of people, you know, being murdered in Gaza, and nobody really cares. It's just, but yet, you got some royal, you know, who either dies or gets sick, and there's just collective, like, concern and outrage. It's just weird.
Well, you know what a lot of that is honestly, people in general are somewhat non-informed, so you have to play to what people are going to be interested in. It's not, you know what, I look at the topics that I pick every week, because, I mean, obviously I'm picking the topics that we discuss on this show, and to be honest with you, if it was just me left up to my own devices, 80% of these topics I would never discuss. But when I read them, being around in this business for long enough now, I can see a topic and go, people are going to be interested in that. And I can look at another topic that maybe I have interest in, but I can think, well, that's going to be a non-starter. And you also have to know your audience.
Do you ever use editorial discretion on something? You don't want to, like, touch a topic because it's, like, controversial?
No, if it's something I think people would be interested in, I would do it.
Okay.
Yeah, if it's interest, I would do it. Even if it's going to be to my own detriment. I think we've done that sometimes.
Yeah.
So I would do it, but I just, what I won't do is boring. You know, somebody once said to me, and I want to say it was Phil Donahue, but let's give him credit. I'm pretty sure it was, but he said, make a mad, sad, happy, glad, but God, don't bore them. Because boring, you'll switch the dial, you'll turn them off. But they can get angry with you. They can be happy with you. They can love you. They can hate you. They'll stay with you. But boring, they'll turn you off.
I think we found your profile tagline.
Yeah, that's a good one, isn't it?
Yeah.
Just don't be boring.
I think you should use that, Scott. Don't do boring.
Well, I mean, isn't that the truth, though? I mean, people have called in and disagreed with me on the air. People have called in and said, you're the greatest. You know, it goes from one polar to the other. But they're still listening, or else they couldn't be angry with me. They could, if they don't like me, they have to be listening. Or they do like me, they have to be listening. But if they're bored, chances are they're not listening.
Yeah, that's true. Or they're just gluttons for punishment, right?
I don't know. You know what? I would listen to somebody I didn't like their opinions as long as they were entertaining. I would listen to some, like Cousin Brucey. I don't necessarily like his music that he plays, but I think he's entertaining. So I'll listen to him. Country music isn't necessarily my thing, but I like some of the DJs in country music, so I'll listen to them. But if the person was boring, I wouldn't be anywhere near it.
Yeah. I don't blame you.
Yeah. So did you listen early? Well, I thought Matt and I had a fascinating conversation from noon to one today about how people take things personally. You know, and I've told all the stories that I continue to tell about being engaged at one point, and my aunts are awful people, and, you know, the card I sent, the engagement card I sent. Some people take it personally, some people don't, and I think that all came about because Bailey, who was originally on the first Friday night show, the first co-host on the Friday night show, is coming back Thursday morning to co-host with me on the morning show. She's got some cakes things she's doing now, and we're still friends. I mean, we don't talk all the time, but we still are friends. Just because she's no longer here, we're not angry. And I got to, or we're not angry, but I got to thinking about the 10 years of this station, which is coming up on June the 10th, and there's only one person who really, that was here on a weekly basis, who really has a problem with me. I don't have a problem with them, but only one, and I think that's very interesting.
Why do they have a problem with you, Scott?
I think because they took some of the things I said personally. Even though I've never used their name, I've never particularly went after them, but as I said...
Is that the one you said that you just didn't, like, mesh with on the air?
Yeah, I mean, it went on for a while. I mean, it wasn't like that person was here and gone. I mean, it wasn't quick. But toward the end, it was very, very, very difficult. There was never any... They weren't awful. I will not say they were awful. I mean, I'm not going to badmouth them. But they weren't terrific. And I think...
They weren't Matt Morgan calls.
No, they weren't Matt Morgan. No, they could hear this person when they talked into the microphone.
I don't know why. I can never... When I call it on Friday night, I can never hear Matt. I don't know if it's on my end.
Maybe he's talking too fast. Is it fast talk?
It might be. I do talk fast. Everybody who calls in, though, does seem to have a hard time hearing me on the mic there.
Did you hear any good there?
A little bit better than I have been.
It was a little slower.
Yeah, I might just got to slow down the speech a bit.
It sounds like he's in, like, a tunnel, like, a mile away.
Yeah.
But, you know, the thing that he's got, but this person, honestly, I have no ill will. I'm going to see him because we live in the same community. There is going to be a point where we're in the same grocery store or we're in the same department store or we're at the same bank. It's going to happen. And it's going to be fine because I have no problem with them. But somewhere along the line, like I was telling the stories, you know, if you go back, this is why I said I'm going to tintype this and not tell the whole story that took 45 minutes earlier, but... The point is, like, I've been telling the story about the fake engagement for years. It's a true story. If you went to find that person, you could probably find out who that was if you did some digging. The card that I sent, the cousin that I sent the card to, I'll see you at the next wedding. You could probably find out that person. It's a real story. And I did this with this person. I never used their name, but I took... a real story and, you know, did what I did. They were okay with those other ones, but when I guess it was about them, even though I didn't say that it was them, they took that personally. Or they're just nasty attitude. I don't know. Maybe they've got personality problems. I don't really know what it is because, honestly, I haven't spoken to them.
Did they call you out on it? Like, did they call you on the phone or send you a nasty text?
Yes. I got a phone call, right after, yes. But you know what? The thing they called me out wasn't about them. Now, they probably will think it is till the day they die, but it wasn't. They called me about something that truly was not about them. Now, there have been things I've said that are about them, but that was not it. And they called me on that and were really upset. And I told them it wasn't about them. So I really don't know. And that was the last time I spoke to them. And that was probably, it was probably close to a year ago.
Oh, wow. So they really were bitter about it.
Yeah, and I don't know why. I don't know why there was such a nasty attitude. And you know something about it, and I said it earlier. This would have been the last person I would have guessed would have had an attitude like that toward me. Not that I did a lot for this person, but... you know, I'm not going to say their name, but clearly, if you looked at it, I was never rude to them. I was never, I think I did good things. Now, it's just what it is. I don't know why that happened. You know, the other people are not that way. Bailey will be here on Thursday. I'm sure I've said awful things about her. It's a show. As long as it's true, I'll say it. I don't know. I don't know what happened with this person, but they're the only one.
Oh, that's not bad odds, then.
No, 10 years, one person. You know. Well, like I was saying, at the turn up the heat dance a few weeks ago, I had a chilly outing with somebody who I had not seen in probably close to a year, and I thought that was weird. But I know it was I know what it was. I know why they were chilly, and I just can't do that with people. I mean, you could insult me all day long, and if I saw you in public, I will let it roll off my back. I'm not going to hold that grudge.
Were they former co-hosts?
The person at the event?
Yeah.
No. No.
Okay.
No, the person at the event had a connection to a former co-host. I'll say that.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, so I think that was where it came from. That's where the chilliness came from. But the second I say that, they'll say they weren't chilly. So, I mean, it's kind of superfluous to get in the argument. But I think it's if I felt it was chilly, I think it was. Because I've known this person for a long, long time, and that was the shortest conversation I've ever had with them, and I was in the room with them for 4.5 hours. So, you know, whatever.
Just think about the amount of energy that it takes to, like, hold a grudge, you know?
Well, and they never say it. See, that's the thing. They never will say, I'm mad at you because of this. Nobody's ever said that.
Yeah, that never clears the air, so then they just hold on to all that negative feeling and negative energy for however long, and I don't know, it's not the way to live, it's not healthy.
No.
If you have a problem with somebody, let it out, and then hopefully let it be done.
No, and you know what, one of the other things, and this is the conversation, nothing to do with this person, but if somebody's got a talent, I do not believe, if I don't like them, I can still recognize the talent. Now, this is came off a conversation about Scherzer Park, when Mayor Scherzer was on earlier this week talking about why that park got, you know, clearly he thought it was petty, and he thought it was political. Now, again, even if you don't like Mayor Scherzer, even if you don't agree what he did, can't you, or his positions, can't you respect what he did as mayor here for 16 years? You can't get past that.
I can. Politically, like, we're probably fairly opposite, but I respect the man.
Yeah.
And I would never do that.
Right, and
if it was in my wheelhouse or my authority, I would never do that.
Right, and I'm sure Mayor Scherzer did not agree with Jack Kellogg on everything, but we still have Kellogg Parkway, like he said. He didn't change the name of that. So that's what you should respect or like the people for the good things that they did. Now, you might not like everything about them. You might dislike something they did, but that should not cancel out the good stuff that they did or do.
Well, then, the respect, I guess, for the legacy, you know? I mean, that is impressive, even if it's somebody from the opposite, you know, side of the aisle. Like, the man was in office for 16 years.
Well, I said earlier, I'm afraid somebody's going to yank my day now. If they don't like how I feel about something, that whole Scott Spears day will be right out the window.
Is that a recurring holiday?
I believe it should be.
Is it, though? Or is it just literally like one and done?
You know, I don't believe so. I believe it's, I don't know. Nobody really explained it to me. I just, you know, took the thing and went home.
Is it marked on, like, city calendars?
You know, oddly enough, nobody's invited me down to their office in a while in the city. I haven't seen any city calendars for a while.
What about Ayers? I haven't heard from that guy.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm going to have to go to a city council meeting sometime soon and see what's all going on down there.
You will. You need to do that.
But I was saying earlier, what if we did Withrow Park? Now, would we not do that now because we have mostly Republicans in office? Would that be a problem?
Probably.
There you go. Now, that's silly.
I know. I think just like the whole mascot controversy, you know, when everybody gets offended by whatever mascot, I just think every team should, like, be called the Winners. So it would be like the Cleveland Winners versus the Cincinnati Winners. And everybody's a winner. Everybody gets a trophy nowadays anyway, so... And if we're so worried about the names of mascots, then just call everybody the Winners.
You know what's... I'm not saying I disagree with you on this, but you know what's odd? Is that the people who don't like everybody getting a trophy and everybody being winners tend to be sore losers when they lose.
You think?
Yeah, I don't know what that is, but I know somebody who popped right in my head who always criticizes the idea of everybody getting a trophy and everybody being a winner, and I have beat this person at a couple things, and both times I did, they were nasty.
Was it Sean?
No, it wasn't Sean. No.
No?
No.
Okay.
No. I don't think Sean's been a sore loser. I don't recall that ever happening.
Terry?
I don't think Terry could stay awake long enough to complete any type of activity. Now, he'll be ticked at me because I've said that. He'll never... I'll be getting a cold shoulder from him next time.
He'll be getting a call tonight.
It'll be a little chilly the next time I see him. Terry... You know, Terry, I honestly think is... I don't know. Terry's a funny personality. I've seen him get angry at people, but it's kind of passive-aggressive anger.
Are they ever on the radio anymore?
You know, Sean, I think has not been feeling the greatest, and Terry, I never did a lot of shows with Terry, to be honest, so I think he just, I know he comes in here because I get little notes from him, but we just don't seem to cross paths at the right time. He did come over to my house a couple weekends ago. He and Matt were over.
Yeah.
So we got together. I mean, we get together. And I got together with Sean last weekend, so I saw him last weekend. And I see Matt and Carrington were over a couple Sundays ago. So, you know, we get together.
Oh, good.
Not the people who are from the past, though, but Bailey. How about next week? We got Bailey in on Thursday, Mike in on Friday night, live in the studio. Following week, we got Philadelphia, Friday's show live from the city of brotherly love, Thunderbolt Patterson, and then he's coming here after that. Are you coming to the big Thunderbolt events we got going on?
What are you doing? I missed that announcement.
Well, he's coming to Marion after the Hall of Fame. He's going to fly back here with me, and I believe on that Monday we're going to be doing an Eclipse event where he'll be signing autographs. And then I think he's doing a bun signing up at Tony Paco's that Wednesday night, and he's also going to do some radio shows that week. He'll be here for a week after the Hall of Fame.
He's going to Tony Paco's?
Yeah. Sign a bun. He's going to sign a bun.
You've been there, right?
I bet. Oh, yes, many times.
Did you sign a bun?
You know, I have. I you kind of. No, I haven't. But I don't know that anybody's ever tried to set that up either. I think if somebody did, I probably would sign a bun.
You should have signed a bun when the family still owned it. Like, I don't know, 10 years. I lived in Toledo for a while, and I've loved Paco's. Oh my God.
Oh, I love Tony Paco. I always just get a hot dog when I'm there. Because I think, and I'm not a big hot dog person, but I think you should have a hot dog.
Get the chicken paprikash next time.
Try that out.
Oh. Die for it. It's worth living in Toledo just for the chicken paprikash.
Now, when you call in next Thursday morning, make sure to say, Bailey, we're so glad to hear you back on the air. And I think she's bringing cake that morning.
Oh, wow.
I know. See, she even comes back with cake. That's why I let her come back.
Yeah. You can't reject somebody that brings you cake.
Can't. Hey, thanks for calling.
All right, guys. Take
Bye-bye.
Care.
All right. Well, we're at the end of the program, Camden. It was good to have you back.
Yeah. It was good.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't know what you wanted me to say.
No, that was all. Matt, coming up next.
Coming up next is going to be me and my brother. We're going to be talking a little bit about March Madness and talking about the NFL free agency.
Next week, Carrington's back. Mike's back. Mike, my star of My 600-Pound Life, will be here live in the studio next Friday night. Bailey's back next week. It's like old home week next week. Thunderbolt in 2 weeks.
It'll be exciting.
It's big around here. And you're going to color my hair, right?
Sure.
Yeah. You came up to me and said that the other day.
Oh, yeah.
Can you do it right?
Yeah.
Can you make it the color it's supposed to be?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think she can.
See, because I can't go to the Hall of Fame with odd-looking hair.
Well, see, I won't be taking any clients soon.
I wasn't going to pay for it. I thought it was a freebie.
Well, I mean, I could use a model sometime. For dyeing hair.
But you're not going to screw it up, is what I'm saying. Because I'm going to be in front of 21,000 people in the arena and then millions on the Peacock.
Well, I mean...
That's trustworthy.
I feel confident in this.
I won't mess your hair up.
Oh, sure. What do you think, Matt? You feel confident in this?
Oh, yeah. Well, I've never felt more confidence in my life.
I was just going to say, at school, I won't be taking anyone in.
Can't you, like, buy a box of dye at the store and do it?
They really don't want us doing stuff out.
What are you going to arrest you, cuff you?
Well, it can affect my, like, getting license.
I won't turn you in. It's a thing.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, when we sign all the stuff, they're like, don't be doing stuff outside of school.
Well, this has been fun. Your show's coming up very shortly here after the 5.5-minute newscast. So Matt and his brother will be talking about sports, and we'll update you on March Madness next week. Camden, Matt, thank you both for coming in tonight. Have a great weekend. Stay tuned. Matt's coming up next live. Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
I'm Marion, and I'll be bringing you all kinds of events that you can take advantage of. So join me this Friday at 11:15 a.m. in the morning.
It's time for news. News about people, places, and plans. Live from the newsroom, I'm the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams.